Hi everyone, hope you're well and you've managed to dodge the raindrops this week. It's been a bit of a crazy weather week, but we crack on with May. Let me pray before we start. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that your spirit breathes life into us as we read your word, that we can be changed by your word. And Lord, we don't want to avoid the difficult bits, but we want to be inspired and we want to have a soft heart to learn from you. So Holy Spirit, please, will you come and breathe your truth into us this morning? Amen. So this passage in Acts chapter 5 starts with the word but. This tells me that something has happened before that I need to know about to understand this story. So let's go back to this previous chapter to see what all the fuss is about. Acts chapter 4 reminds us how the majority of people were now living, having been so affected by the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Let me just read it to you, the last little bit. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi, and he came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So in scripture, this one man, Barnabas, was singled out as an example of outrageous love and generosity. So I wonder if in reality, whether Barnabas had been spoken about by the believers in such high esteem that it led to the story that we now read in chapter 5. Was the reason that Ananias and Sapphira got themselves into this situation the result of wanting to be recognised and honoured like Barnabas? So let me just pause here with a reminder to guard our hearts against envy and jealousy when someone is recognised. Let's learn to identify those thoughts quickly and take them captive and turn from them, and allow the Holy Spirit to help us join in with rejoicing over that person. Let's not give the enemy a foothold. It's an interesting thing that Ananias and Sapphira were not actually required to sell their property and give it to the apostles. Peter said to them, "The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away." They weren't being judged on their generosity, but on their honesty. It was the fact that they claimed that what they were giving was the full amount. Their motivation for selling and giving was not for the benefit of the community, but possibly how they would then be recognised and spoken about. Peter was not quick to go through the teacher slash parent list of "you've let me down, you've let the class down, you've let yourself down." He was devastated that God had been lied to. How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the spirit of the Lord like this? God gave Peter special insight to discern Ananias's lie. The writer of Acts, Luke, chose the Greek word, translated here as "kept back," to show how sin threatened the church. This same word is used in the Old Testament once in the book of Joshua. Soon after God's people entered the promised land, the sin of a man called Achan threatened the whole community. He had kept back plunder that had been set aside for God, and his family conspired with him to hide the theft. And again, God judged swiftly to protect the nation. So let's take some time to to examine what God is saying to us in this passage. And he may be highlighting something different for each of us. But here are three things to start with. Are you allowing envy or jealousy of others? It's a really hard thing to admit, but God wants to remind us of our individual uniqueness and the kick in the teeth it gives Satan when we turn from this and appreciate the success of others. Is there anything kept back in our lives? We're encouraged in 2 Corinthians 9, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this could be related to money, like in the passage, but we can also keep back other things, our time, our effort, our friendship, our kindness. This is an invitation to examine our generosity. It doesn't necessarily mean that we go out and try and do more, but when we consider the extreme generosity that God has shown to us, we may want to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts for anything that we're keeping back from him. In Job, he prays, "Does he not see my ways and count my every step? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales." And thirdly, as you read this passage, was there anything in your heart that thought, well, that's a bit harsh. God struck them both down for withholding a bit of money. It would be worth bringing that to God and allowing him to speak into that. And this will be one of the questions discussed in our Zoom service on Sunday. So let me pray before we finish. Father God, we thank you so much for the generosity that you have shown us in giving your only son, that you kept nothing back. And I ask you, Lord, to renew the spirit in us that recognises that all we have comes from you and it all belongs to you. Father, will you forgive us if there is deceit in our heart? And would you renew a right spirit in us? Lord, we thank you for your word. Come, Holy Spirit, and search us now. In Jesus' name, amen.